I'm Arnold Schumann. I'm here at the Citrus Research and Education Center doing nutrition work, and what I talked about today is primarily the nutrition work revolving around the HLB or greening disease.
You indicated that yield and fruit size aren't always the best measurements of whether your nutrition program is right or not.
Yeah, that decision came about. We were forced to revisit yield specifically for research involving HLB, greening. So I would not say that for any research in citrus that is true, but we've decided that it's really a risky measurement to take for greening affected trees. And a few of the reasons are, you know, because fruit drop occurs with greening, but it also occurs with canker, it occurs with black spot disease, storms like hurricanes, and even PFD and any other stress. So that's one thing, fruit drop. Alternate bearing patterns, different trees in the grove have different patterns, and some varieties are very susceptible to that, where one year they produce high yields, the next year low yields, next year high yields. That's the alternate bearing. So that can play havoc with results that you're trying to get precise data for something like greening response and treatment response that you're applying. And then also the seasonal, you know, the earliness or lateness of varieties. Yeah, so early varieties, you know, would be harvested in October, November, and then late varieties as late as May, even June, like Valencia. And how can you, in statistics, in an experiment, compare fruit that was harvested 6 months apart? It's not really feasible. So we've decided to go something that's fruit independent for this study. And we took great pains to find the best variables to measure.
And what are those variables?
Well, we wanted to focus on tree response, at least in this phase of the study. So, we looked at the primarily the leaf size. And anybody that's seen a greening-affected tree will realize that is true. You see you drive past these groves, and you see the leaf size is not what it used to be. And that's it's a more stable variable that you can measure year off, year in and year out. And if you apply remedial treatments like enhanced nutrition, you can see a change too. The leaves do start to grow better and look bigger and more like they used to. So it does respond to treatment, it does respond to the disease, and it is not subject to all those short-term variabilities that fruit yield is subject to. So that's why we did. So the primary one I can safely say is leaf size, as measured by leaf area, either with a machine that you slide the leaves through after picking them, or you can photograph them photographically or scan them and measure leaf area. And we also measured the dry mass of the leaves that we sampled so that we could divide leaf area by dry mass and get what they call specific leaf area. And that actually is an index of the thickness of the leaf. So it's area divided by the total weight. It gives an index of thickness. And we know that greening-affected trees produce leaves that are thicker or more leathery. You know, they're less pliable than from a healthy tree, less soft.
You're going to find some ways to make this usable by growers?
Well, what I've just explained is the variables for research. Yeah, so short-circuiting, or at least to close that circle and get an answer for growers, what we did is we looked at those very detailed leaf size and other responses that we've identified, but look at the behavior of the nutrients that growers regularly measure when they pick samples of leaves and take them to labs or send them to labs and get leaf nutrient concentrations, and then compare them traditionally with thresholds. So, for example, for zinc, the example I used today, for zinc in the leaf, zinc concentration in the leaf, the published thresholds for deficiency are 18 parts per million. So, meaning that traditionally on a healthy tree, if it was below 18 parts per million, you should be fertilizing extra zinc. And if it's above 18 parts per million, especially if it's in the mid to upper 20s, you would have to do nothing. You wouldn't put any zinc on. Those norms or those thresholds are no longer the best numbers, we think, because of greening. Greening changes everything. Changes the way the plant takes up the nutrients, changes the way the plant uses the nutrients. And that's why we see so much deficiencies, including zinc and HLB-affected trees. So what we've done with this research, by comparing those hundreds of, I think we have 119,000 data points over 3 years. So we have a lot of samples. So we have a big database of samples, and we then correlated compared the responsiveness in the form of those leaf area measurements with actual measured zinc and other nutrient concentrations in those same leaves, and then analyze them with special statistical techniques. Kate Nelson is the one we like to use, which then allows us to determine a new threshold, wherever that may be, for zinc. And for example, the one I analyzed today for showing was 37 parts per million. So compare that with 18, which is for a healthy tree. And you can see the value in that. If we want to get the best performance out of our HLB-affected trees, if we have higher thresholds that are better optimized for disease trees, we should be getting better growth and yield out of those trees.
So you'll come up with some recommendations at the end of all this study?
That's our aim. That was our original goal, and we're sticking to that, and I think we're getting close.
For Southeast AgNet, I'm Ernie Neff.